Good morning. I'm excited to be up here. It has been a while, and I am excited. And I love sharing in January because I get to share and decide what I want to share. Daryl doesn't tell me what to share. And so I was thinking, what would I want to share? What would I want to share if this was the first time I was sharing with you? What would I want to share if this was the last time that I was sharing with you? And it is always the same. I just want to share about following Jesus. This is a message that I actually gave on Sunday morning at youth camp. So some of you have heard it before. Some of you were there but sleeping. But you were there. I share on the Sunday morning because we're very tired people on a Sunday morning, and we learnt the hard way with Elijah that having the guest speaker speak on Sunday is not always fun for the guest speaker. And so the message, the word for our youth camp this year was flow. And it can mean a lot of different things, and we talked a little bit about what it can mean. We had Christian surfers there. And there was talk about waves and the mightiness of God. But FLOW became an acronym for me, and this is my message. Follow, learn, obey, worship. Follow, learn, obey, worship. And I would contend, if we look at follow, that we all do that. We all follow something, someone, many things in our lives we follow. You talk to young people today, and you talk about who are they following on Instagram, or who are we following on Twitter, what are we thing? And the thing is that we will follow whether we realize it or not. And so just as you pause and just consider, what are the things that you follow? One example for me is that I follow the National Hockey League in America. In 1997, somehow my family had ESPN. I was sick. I watched ice hockey. And for 20 years now, I have been a devoted follower of the National Hockey League and probably given a disproportionate amount of time and money and energy into ice hockey. I didn't know very much about it when I first saw it on TV. And now I can tell you the rules. I can tell you why my team is so rubbish this year. I own the most expensive gear I own is National Hockey League, Detroit Red Wings hockey gear. And my friend and I subscribe to it every year and watch the games together quite a lot. We all follow stuff. And so I want to jump in and show you how that would relate to following Christ, following Jesus. It was something that Jesus says a lot. So I'm jumping into Mark 1, verses 16 to 22. So follow. Jesus asks us to come and follow him. He does it a lot. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing the nets. He called them at once, and they followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. I'm just going to read 17 again. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Follow comes first. And this, I love this story. In fact, one of my favorite things to do over most summers is read a gospel. And I love watching the disciples as they go in faith. I want to be a disciple and I want to see what they did at that time. And what I always find remarkable about this is that it doesn't give us a whole lot. But I just think I've thought it over and over again. And that here are these men just on the beach fishing, going about their everyday, ordinary life, and a man walks along the beach, and we're not told that he says much. We don't even know that they know a whole lot about him, and he says, "Come follow me," but they recognize something in him that makes them drop everything and follow him at once. They left family behind. They left, and we would know something of that. That you know, Jesus probably looked like a rabbi, and there was prestige in following a rabbi. But they would have had their own ideas of what that meant and what that would look like. And as we follow through the story, they sometimes didn't always understand what Jesus was about, but they recognized something special in him, and they followed him. They made a commitment then and there to follow him, and we know that the story continues. We are here today because they continued to follow him. They followed. So they followed him, and then the next thing they did was they started to learn about Jesus. You can flick to any part of the gospel, and he's teaching them. Sermons on the Mount, people are gathering and following him. In verse 2:13, I need a bigger print. I'm getting old. Jesus went out to the lake shores again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. He taught them, and as he walked alongside, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple. Jesus taught them and he brought them in. Follow me. And then you flick a bit further on to Mark chapter 6, and you'll see that he sends them out to do ministry and to practice, and they come back and they debrief with him. They learn what he is about. They sometimes argue about what's going to happen and who will be the greatest among them, and Jesus teaches them and they learn more about him. Yes, we can learn about Jesus before we follow him. We can hear stories. When I was 13, Gideon came to Gideon's Bible people. I don't know what it's, the people that give Bibles out at schools and stuff came to my school. growing up in South Africa, fairly conservative culture and stuff like that, and respect and stuff is quite high. And I'm not from a Christian family, but they came and they shared, and the boys, every boy in our school was given a Bible, and sadly, many took great delight in ripping the pages, throwing the Bibles off the top of the tower block and stuff like that. And I was not one of them, and I would like to say that it was because I had great faith in Christ and everything. I didn't know him at that time, but I'd been told to be respectful and to not destroy books, so I gathered in books and all of that stuff. So I knew a little of Jesus in my school, primary school in South Africa. One of the classes in a public school was Bible study. Again, I had information about him. But it wasn't until when I was 17 and I had made the decision to follow Jesus that learning about Jesus became something very different. It wasn't just an academic exercise. It was a relationship that I had now entered into. And so I wanted to learn and grow more. Our desire changes when we follow him. The way we learn and engage with him changes when we follow him. It's always been an interesting exercise for me. My cousin, again, quite a few of, in fact, most of my family is fairly staunchly against the church. And my cousin, who's studying philosophy at Wellington and stuff, and I were on his balcony talking. And so he knows stuff. He has information. He's learnt things. But it's a very different endeavor for me as I follow Jesus and I learn stuff. And so then that leads me on to obey. Following Jesus, learn about what he requires, who he is, what he stands for, and then I am faced with a choice to obey. And we're going to jump to an example in Mark 10 of someone being asked to obey. My Bible has this as the rich man. Mark 10:17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. We could share a lot about that. There's a lot to unpack in that. But again, as I read through these stories, I'm looking at the people and their responses to Jesus, at this idea that these fishermen on the beach were called, and then he's teaching and they're learning, and others are gathering as they come to follow him and learn. And here we have an example of a man who knows all the right things, knows what's required of him, has learnt these things growing up. He could answer really well. And then when it came time to obey, to put something into practice, to reorientate himself, he was sad. I don't want to be that man, and I hope you don't want to be that man either. I am following, I am learning, and every day I am choosing to obey and put into practice what I am learning. We must obey. So we follow, learn, obey, and then we come to worship. And so, kind of think it's summed up. We did this a long time ago, but no doubt people read this verse and know it. Paul, in Romans 12, Paul says this: "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God, because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." I'm going to read that again. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." So I would contend that if we follow, if we learn, and then we put into practice through obedience what we are learning, we are worshiping. We are transforming our lives in a way that we are imitating and modeling Christ. And so that is true worship. We come together now and worship and celebrate what he is doing in our lives. We do it through song because we are creative people, and we do it in many other ways through service and acts of kindness. But if we are transforming our lives, then we are worshiping. We spend our time with God. Like I talked about with my ice hockey, I have watched and spent a lot of time and energy and resource in nurturing and growing that thing that I follow. With Christ, this is a much bigger and more important and pressing thing that I follow. Him and act in obedience to him. And so, follow, learn, obey, worship. I repeated myself a lot on Sunday morning at camp because I knew it needed to stick in. And it has to begin with follow. Jesus asks people to follow him, and in my mind, they don't get a whole lot of the fine print and detail before that. The problem is that we live in an information age with lots of options, and we're talking about with young people and stuff. We're often crippled by our many choices, our affluence of choices and ideas and options. And so we want more information. We want to learn. We want to learn and learn, and we gain that information. If we start with learning, the danger is we can often put up barriers to following and think of reasons why not yet. If we start to think with obey, we can start to go, I need to get my life in order first before I can follow Jesus. I need to be able to follow his commands before I can be his disciple. That's not the case. Follow first, learn, obey, and that is worship. I'll just gather my thoughts. And at the heart of this, and the reason Jesus asks to follow, And the reason people do it on a little bit of information sometimes, and I'm not saying that learning's bad, as someone who's studying theology and doing papers and all that kind of stuff, learning is good. But the heart of this is control and trust. When Jesus calls us to follow him first, it requires us to trust his plan, his way, his goodness. And then we learn those things. We obey those things. We worship those things. Too often we are trying to control it first ourselves. We are trying to do the right thing first. We are trying to learn the right stuff first. And then maybe I will follow Jesus, or maybe I will fit, or he will fit me. It's the wrong way around. Jesus is always saying, follow me, follow me, follow me. I'm going to read, the words are slightly different. I've been reading a pretty interesting book, a funny book written by a youth pastor, because they're my favorite people. It's called Weird, Funny, and Crude, and it's about the Bible stories that you wouldn't typically read, and all that stuff. But what's been really cool is every story points to Jesus and back to Jesus. And so his words are a little different, but I think it captures what I'm trying to say here. And he uses this example. If you are in the ocean and you're drowning, you're not going to stop and think to yourself, before I cry out for help, I had better get myself in order. First, I had better work out my motivations. Do I want to be saved so I cannot drown, or do I want to be saved so I can know this lifesaver? Am I really sorry for getting caught in the rip? Will I do it again? Maybe I should learn to swim a bit better and get myself to safety before I call out to the lifesaver. Then the lifesaver won't be disappointed when they come out to me and discover my inability to swim at this point in time. I'd hate to disappoint the lifesaver. If you're drowning, you cry out for help. You can worry about the rest later. That is how we must relate to God. Don't wait to get yourself right with God before you cry out to him. Don't wait to make sure you're praying, reading your Bible, not sinning, that you really are sorry and you really do love God. Who cares? If you're in trouble, call out to him. He'll hear you. Don't wait till your heart is right before you cry out to him, or you'll never do it. In fact, the first step in getting your heart right is to cry out to him. If you spend all your time trying to get your heart in order before you call out to him, you'll miss the first and most important step of faith, and that's to realize that you cannot save yourself. You need God. You can't sort out your heart without him. Stop trying to get right for him and just call out. If you're not a follower of Jesus, you need to call out to God to save you from your own sin, from the punishment that you deserve, and from your captivity to death. Don't wait till you've got your life in order, till you've stopped swearing or drinking, or you're out of that unhealthy relationship. God wants to save you as you are. He'll save you because he is good, not because you're well behaved. Cry out to him. If you're a Christian, don't ever think that you can't cry out to God. No matter what your sin is like, no matter how well or badly you're doing in your relationships with him and or others, no matter how close or far away from him you feel, when you need him, cry out to him. Don't wait to get your heart right. God didn't wait till Israel was right with him before he saved them. I would contend that the order is important. Follow me. Come as you are. Follow me. Learn at my feet. Obey my commands, and that is worship. That is the best life on offer for you. Follow, learn, obey, worship. Too often, I see us getting it muddled up and in the wrong order. We often have friends coming through youth group. We often have people come in and asking questions and taking information, and they stumble at obedience. But they stumble at obedience because they were never following in the first place. Follow him. And yes, that's a daily thing. It's not a one-off thing. It's a decision. Each of these things play out, and some days I'm learning more, and other days I'm having to follow, and other days I'm having to really press into obedience and stuff like that. It's a dynamic thing. It's moving all the time, but it starts with following Jesus. As we call friends and family to him, and it has to start with him. We have to trust in him and come to him first. My cry is to follow him. My desire is to follow him. Dan and I were walking along the beach, talking about all the different things going in and on and around for both of us. You kind of had to be there. I'm not going to share what we actually said. But at the heart of it, I said to Dan, and it's my prayer, and it's been in my journal. It's my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for you guys. It's my prayer for the youth group. It's my prayer for my family who don't know him, but that we would follow and seek after Jesus first in all things that we do. And I am impressed and with those disciples on the beach who were able to lay their security down, their livelihoods down, leave the family and all that stuff. That's remarkable, and I'm not suggesting that we all do that. If you're going to do it, just wait till I finish. But I am just impressed that their desire to follow was so great that they put that stuff down. And I pray for you as I finish. I'm just going to read my prayer for Anchor Church. Oh, let me pray. Lord, for the Anchor Church, please show us how to be bold and courageous gospel bearers and followers of you. May we be united in our love for you and for each other. Amen.